Welcome to Off the Cut, a podcast where we talk about building, making,
and answering all of your questions.
I'm Eric from Spensley Design Co.
And I'm Zach from Zach Builds. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on air, you can send it to offthecutpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find both of us on YouTube, Instagram, and unfortunately, because we have to keep up with kids, you can find us on TikTok too.
All right, now let's get into the show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Off the Cut, episode 72. We're up in Toronto. Today is known as Wednesday, July 5th, 2023. But here in Ohio, today is respectfully dedicated to the food of the day, graham crackers.
I'm sorry to interrupt like this. That's a very oafish of me. But can we just go back and see what the food of the day was for 4th of July?
Oh, yeah.
I'm
it better
it's
be
like
hot dogs.
Yeah, exactly. I'm hoping it's something fun, like hot dogs, hamburgers, whatever you got.
And for anybody listening, I didn't just randomly develop a lisp. I'm eating some cucumbers. Jackfruit.
Oh, come on.
What the hell?
What is jackfruit?
That's one of those weird like fruit things that people eat.
We don't have producer Derek with us today, so nobody's here to pull up images for us. Because I would like to see
jackfruit kind of looks like that. Have you heard of the super smelly fruit durian?
Yes, I have heard of durian.
It looks just like a durian.
Okay. I love crazy looking fruit. There's like also like drag. Oh yeah, it does. Look at that. Look up dragon fruit. I mean, even pomegranates are pretty wild looking, but I think dragon fruit's the weirdest looking one.
It's one that has like the spines and spikes on it, right?
Yeah, but then the inside of it looks like Oreo ice cream.
Oh! Wow!
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
That's something.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that I've ever had a jackfruit.
No, I haven't had a durian, a dragon fruit, or a jackfruit.
Where does one acquire a dragon fruit?
I'm guessing based on the name. Oh, no. Okay. I was going to say it's an Asian thing based on the name, but it's actually Mexico, along the Pacific coast of Guatemala, Costa Rica, and El Salvador. Cool.
Okay. I mean, it looks neat. Like if I came over to somebody's house and they're like, hey, I got this fruit, you got to try it.
Do you think the inside of it tastes the way it looks, where it tastes like Oreo ice cream?
No, it says it, dragon fruit tastes, it's a very mild, sweet flavor.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah.
Maybe kind of like a coconut?
I suppose.
Interesting.
So the other, jackfruit was July 4th, which would be the official USA day. July 3rd, isn't your birthday really close to mine?
Yeah, well, my birthday is July 8th.
Okay, that's what I thought. My birthday is the 3rd.
The 3rd? Oh, okay, happy birthday. I didn't...
Yeah, thanks, man. the 3rd was chocolate waffles.
Okay, that's a pretty good birthday one.
Yeah, that's not bad. Eat Beans Day, an independent beer run. I'm okay with that.
Okay. What's July 1st? Because that's the Canadian version of 4th of July.
Okay, so we have on the 1st, it looks like they give you like, oh my lord, both days and months. So we have corn month.
Okay.
Eggplant month.
Uh-huh.
Baked bean month.
Okay.
Which that's like the most barbecue-ish food that we've seen on this whole thing.
Yeah.
Blueberry month.
Blueberry month. What's the day though? I gotta know the day.
Culinary arts month. Grilling month. Now, okay. We're getting somewhere.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Horseradish gets an entire month dedicated to it. Ice cream month. Watermelon month. Okay.
This is how you know that they were just looking for stuff. They were just throwing darts at a dartboard.
Okay. Chicken wings.
Oh, okay. Is that July 1st?
Go. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think I might have actually had chicken wings on July 1st. So That's a little bit of serendipity right there.
Yeah. Did you get into anything fun this weekend? Any especially tasty foods? How were those wings?
The wings were great. They were homemade, did it on the barbecue, tossed them in a little bit of maple barbecue sauce.
Ooh.
It was, yeah, it was good. I didn't get up to anything crazy this weekend, but, the weekend past, we just kind of hung out at home, honestly. Right. We watched some fireworks for a little bit, but, this coming weekend, we're going away, for the long week. Well, we're making our own long weekends, with a bunch of our friends, and we rented a big cottage
Ooh.
A couple hours outside the city. So that's going to be a good time.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Kind of like delaying the celebration.
Exactly. I plan to lay in a floaty in the middle of a lake, drinking a beer and hanging out and have a good time.
Hey, you got me. That sounds like a fantastic time.
Oh, late entrant.
Oh, Derek joined us.
Derek joined us. Okay, hold on. Let me
hit the button. We have our producer. This is my fault, Derek. I think I sent out the updated to the Google Meet thing. But I don't think I sent it to you.
There we go. Cool.
Welcome. I was actually watching the. I had it open. I've been sitting here. I was just it'll update on the website, and it didn't. So I was just sitting here waiting, and I went and checked it, and sure enough,
we started late.
Yeah, in your defense, Derek, I did make the studio or whatever. I set up the podcast like at 7:01 p.m., I think. So it was definitely a late thing on my part.
No, that's no problem.
Doing it on Wednesdays throws everything off. But so does having like days off work.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
It's quite weird.
Everybody listening to this on Saturday when it comes out on the podcasting platforms, we are recording it on July 5th because July 4th is July 4th.
Yeah, that's true. Eric and July 5th is July 5th this year.
Yes, correct.
It is every year. But I guess, yeah, so I guess for any international listeners, because we do have some, that's a big, Independence Day?
Is that what it is? I was wondering what you... Yeah, like I know July 4th is a big day, but I don't actually know what holiday it is. And evidently neither do you.
Independence Day.
Okay, so that's the one where you declared your independence from the British. You're like, F you Brits, we've had enough of your tax on our tea, and then got out.
It appears that way.
Sweet, sweet.
I'm not much of a history buff.
Yeah, neither am I. Oh. Like, that's, of all the areas in school... I feel like history and maybe even geography were my two worst areas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I actually don't even think we had geography.
You didn't even have geography? I mean, we had it for like a semester in high school, and that was it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything like, I don't think we had that. We had government class, but that was civics. Something that we took. Yeah, we took it for like 4 weeks, and then that transitioned to like, the class that you basically just had to like report in how you were doing on your like big senior project thing.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, so you didn't really learn anything.
What is this, Derek? Did somebody steal our brand?
No, it's just my background.
Okay. So no. But that Instagram page you had up a second ago on the screen.
Oh, yeah. Let me see here.
Anyways, Eric, what you were saying was that I had the exact same thing in school. We did like half a semester of civics class, which was government class that taught us how the government was run. And then the second half of it was like careers class. And I remember being in careers class and we had to fill out this form that told you what the optimal job for you was. So I filled out the form and the machine did its calculations, and then it spit back to me. It was like, you'd be perfectly suited to be a judge. And I was like, okay, but you can't go straight from high school to being a judge. Like, there's a bunch of intermediate steps between here and there. So I don't know how practical this advice is.
It didn't spit out that you should be an award-winning podcast co-host?
No, it did not. I don't even think... were podcasts even a thing when...
So if memory serves me right, podcasts were the term podcast came from like the invention of the iPod.
Yeah.
Where you could basically like save like radio programs to yes. your iPod. So they called them like, instead of broadcast, they called them podcast. So it would have had to have been
around
2005
the time
to 2010-ish.
Yeah, around the time when iPods were out, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, yeah. So interesting. Potentially, at that point, podcasts weren't even really a thing. Because I kind of remember iPods were around when I was in high school, but they were like the crappy ones with the non-color screens. And
right. So it says the first iPods 2001.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Really? Wow.
Yeah, Gen 1 iPod 2001.
So that would have put me, I think I would have been in like 8th grade or 9th grade at that point.
Yeah, so, but then it was like 2004, 5, 6 was when like they really caught on.
Yeah. I remember the first guy in my school who had an iPod. And I was like, ugh, what is that thing? That looks weird. And little did I know that would be like a cultural sensation for the next decade.
My remembrance of the iPod was in 6th grade. Mm-hmm. We did some like end of the year project thing. And then afterwards, once everybody was done, they did like a 6th grade pool party, right?
Okay.
And I remember there was a kid in our class named Cam. Mm-hmm. And Cam had an iPod. Okay. And he was a really nice guy. So he, mm-hmm. I was like, dude, that's cool. Like, I got to see that. Can I check it out? And he goes, yeah, no problem, man. Why don't you just use it for the rest of the day?
Oh, wow.
So I got to listen to the same, I don't know, 30 songs or whatever, like on mm-hmm. repeat for the whole day. And I thought I was the coolest man alive.
Yeah.
And then I remember after that, we went to the pool party. And it was probably like my first time seeing a large group of girls in bikinis. And I was like, this is awesome.
Screw the iPod.
Yeah, I was like, I want an iPod. every time I see an iPod, it just reminds me of going to that pool party for the first time. I'm like, that's where it all started.
Yeah. And that's when you decided not to be a dork and to be a cool guy, right?
Yeah, I would. And that's when they told me I was no longer allowed within 300 yards of any elementary school. Because I wasn't in 6th grade, but everybody else was.
I was, I was 28 years old at the time.
This was just last year.
I in high school, I remember everybody had iPods. And I was, being the contrarian that I am, I was like, I'm going to get this like other off-brand iPod, because it was like, you know, it was better in some weird way. I think it was the biggest one you could get was 30 gigabytes of music, and the iPod was only 20. So it's like, oh man, it's way more songs. It's obviously way better. And then I remember it bringing it to school for the first day, and immediately some other kid sees it. He's like, what is that, a brick pod? And then just for the rest of the school year, people called it a brick pod. And I was like, God damn it, I hate high school so much.
But some of those quick-witted things are they're clever.
I know, they are clever. Yeah, that kid was bang on.
So what was it? Was it like a
Or
was it that? Oh, in the...
A Zune?
The live chat. A Zune, yeah.
It was not a Zune. It was Creative... Hold on. I think it was a Creative Zen Creative Extra. Audio?
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, hold on. I found it on Google Images. It was a Creative Nomad Jukebox Zen Extra. And
I would have made fun of you for having something that was called that.
Yeah. I mean, the kids were right. Yeah, let's see if Derek can bring up a...
Was it a good piece of tech?
I mean, look, it was bigger than an iPod. It held more songs. I think it had better audio, better battery life, all these things. But, ooh, look, maybe I should get one. $50 on eBay. That would be a good reminder.
That's a new video.
That's true. That is a new video right there. It'd be a good reminder for me not to be such a dork. I'll just, like, put it right on the mantle in my living room.
I mean, that's retro. The kids would love that.
I know.
That's fat.
They're bringing back Janko jeans. I mean, they'll get a Creative Zen Music audio box, whatever the hell it's called. They'd like that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. At the time, I thought it was pretty slick. I was like, you know, this is going to hold my entire music collection. It's not an iPod, which is important to me because I'm not a follower.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you won't listen to an iPod. You won't listen to the Green Tutors podcast. You've got your priorities straight.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, don't blame me.
Contrary to the core.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we've got some...
What is it?
I was just going to touch on the podcasting while we're at it, the personal audio company that was suing everybody a few years back about podcasting.
Oh, tell me about this. What's this?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll read you the Wikipedia entry because that's probably a little more accurate than my memory. But
okay.
Personal audio, a company referred to as a patent troll by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, filed patent on podcasting in 2009 for a claimed invention in 1996. In February of 2013, Patent Audio started suing high-profile podcasters for royalties, including The Adam Carolla Show, How Stuff Works. I actually heard about it on Mark Maron's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
In October 2013, the EFF filed a patent with the U.S. trademark to invalidate the personal audio patent, and then in August 2014, the EFF announced that the Adam Carolla had settled with personal audio, and then finally in April of 2015, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office invalidated the five provisions of the personal audio's podcasting patent. But I know that they were holding a lot of podcasts hostage, basically just blackmailing them for money, settling out of court.
Wow, interesting. I do remember, actually, you know, here's an interesting question for you guys. What was the first podcast you started listening to? Because, Derek, that little list just reminded me of something.
Oh, God. I don't know. You go first. Let me think.
I think that the first one I ever started listening to was the How Stuff Works one. Yeah, that was like my introduction to podcasts. They did like 30 minutes on like how random things worked. And it's just, I don't know. It really caught my interest. I remember like working on houses in the summer when I was in like, you know, I don't know, I guess later high school, and just listening to that podcast.
Derek, what was yours? You got one?
I think I had about two or three because I had I got the iPod video whenever it first came out, that first version of it, and podcasting was kind of a big thing on it then, so I had picked up a few in the beginning. There was one video one that was this couple mixing drinks, and I thought that was kind of neat. I forget what it was called, Tiki something, and they mixed drinks and talked about mixed drinks. And then there was another, and then that was when I first started listening to Maron. I found him because he was in the top 10, I think, at the time. Yeah. And the other one was, it was this audio drama called We're Alive, and it was a zombie apocalypse audio drama.
Interesting. So is that kind of like a, for lack of better words, like a soap opera podcast?
It's kind of like an old radio serial.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever listened to one of these podcasts, Eric, that has like actual production? There's like sound effects and people like play different characters and I can't do it. It's same thing with audiobooks. Anytime there's like even a little bit of production in an audiobook, I'm like, I'm out. As soon as I hear a sound effect or something, I'm like, nah.
And the door creaks open.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, get over yourself. I was recently reading the Harry Potter audiobooks, and there's a nice English fella that's reading them, but he makes like different voices for every character.
But
here's the thing. You and I can like have inflections and tones in our voices, but there's like 11,000 characters in Harry Potter. There's no way you can have a very distinguished tone and then like recall the exact same tone you had. So sometimes I'm like, wait, I think this is his voice for someone else. And like, it would almost confuse you.
Right. I should talk to Sophie's brother about this because he's actually a voice actor, and he creates these like, he has like names for characters in his head. Like, so he'll use the same voice on multiple, like, different cartoon shows. But he just kind of has this voice in his head that he calls, like, the Pillow Man. And it's like, he talks like this. And it's like...
Okay. It's like they're characters that live in their head.
Yeah, so this guy's probably got, like, a roster as a voice actor, the narrator. He's probably got, like, a roster of, like, 10 different voices that he knows he can do in his head. And he's like, okay, well, I have 30 characters here, so there's going to be some crossover with the 10 characters that I have in my head. Yeah.
It's tough. For me, it distracts. Like, for me, the podcast is such, like, a raw format. Mm-hmm. That I don't necessarily need like a super, super high level of production. I almost find it distracting sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. No. I like the raw conversational nature of a podcast, which is why we do our podcast in this format. I think we're pretty closely aligned on that.
We don't script anything like the Green Series podcast does, but that's why their podcast is substantially below ours. Subpar at best.
I remember starting this podcast and talking to Sophie about it. She was like, are you sure you want to take on all the extra work of editing a podcast? I was like, editing a podcast?
Cut out the front, cut out the back.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but I think the first podcast I ever listened to was, I don't know if you had this up in Canada, Zach, but this would have been like early 2000s. Derek, and you might know what this was, because I couldn't even tell you the name. There was like a TV station on cable that was in like the 60s or 70s channel number.
Okay.
And it was pretty much all about video games.
Okay.
There was like a whole channel G4? About what, G4?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And so I used to be really into video games in my younger years, right? And I thought this was so freaking cool that they had a video game channel on TV, right? Or they're like, oh, we have a podcast where they would like kind of like highlight like weekly updates on video games, or like, you know, here's what's coming next, or rumors or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way you got it was, back in the day, everything was through that iTunes app. Or like basically the program on your computer. I think app is generous. And it was god awful. But you would like go to whatever show you wanted to, and you'd like subscribe to it, and then every week or whatever, like a new one would be available. So you'd have to download it to your computer and then like plug your iPod in. Yeah. And if I recall, you couldn't actually listen to it on your computers. You'd like had to listen to it on your iPod or something like that.
Huh.
So you had to like make sure you were constantly syncing. But yeah, there was some video game podcast. And
okay.
It was cumbersome to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember early podcasting was pretty wild. It was very cumbersome, like you're saying. And Derek, to echo off your point from earlier, like I remember going to the list of like the top 100 podcasts to try and find some new ones, and there was only like, you know, like actually like 10 to 20 decently sized podcasts out there at the time.
Yeah,
it was like a really, really empty list. So you know, if we had started only 20 years ago, Eric, we could be really big right now.
I mean, we started after the Green Series podcast, and we're still blowing them away. So,
well, fair, yeah. Fair.
It's a low bar. But like, I'm sure like NPR was probably like the first podcast, right?
No, I think who was the first one? It was somebody you wouldn't suspect. It was like Ryan Seacrest or something weird.
Did you see that Ryan Seacrest is now the new host for Wheel of Fortune?
I did not see that. Interesting. Man, those game show gigs must pay you so well.
So I saw an article, and Derek, interrupt me whenever you find whatever we were looking for, the first podcast. I saw an article that said that Pat Sajak and Vanna White make like $15 million a year just on like their likeness. So, like, casinos that have, like, slot machines that are Wheel of Fortune slot machines, they get royalties on all of that.
God, that's a good gig. We got to get into that somehow.
Yeah. Get into the gambling ring. Imagine an off-the-cut podcast slot machine.
Or like, yeah, or like an off-the-cut podcast branded set of Monopoly. You know you made it when you have your own custom Monopoly board.
What do you think the railroads would be for Monopoly?
It'd be like table saw, miter saw, scroll saw, and bandsaw.
Okay, so these are like the big tools that you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Jail can be spending time with the guy who owns Odie's Oil.
I thought you were just going to say it's a listening room for the Green Suitors podcast.
Oh, that would not be bad. Or it's getting a sponsorship with Timberland Pro.
Timberland Pro, yeah. And all the street names would be different types of wood.
Okay.
Instead of boardwalk, it'd be like Walnut and Park. What is it? Park
Walnut Park Way. Place, you know, would be Pecan Place.
Exactly. They would figure it out.
Okay. What about the utilities? I think you could still have utilities.
No, the utilities maybe would be like Home Depot, Rona, Lowe's.
Okay.
Or I should do Rona. That's a bad one. Americans won't get that, but it could be like Home Depot, Lowe's, and I don't know, some other ones.
Free parking. What do you think that would be like? You got like a sponsor or something, a free tool sponsor or something?
Free tool sponsor or like furniture, like found furniture on the side of the road or something like that. Furniture flip, okay. Something like
okay.
that.
Okay. That could be interesting. I mean, if there are any game producers out there, Zach and I are open to it.
We are willing to accept rock bottom royalties.
Right. I would take a tenth of a percent.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I think I got an answer.
Okay. First podcast.
It's a complicated one, though, but here we go. So, and I don't know where your football allegiances lie here in Texas or in America, but this may throw you or upset some people. In August of 2000, the New England Patriots launched the internet radio show PFW in Progress. It was a live show that was recorded and made available for on-demand download. Now, technically, this was not the first podcast because it's technically not a podcast, but it is the beginnings. And let's see. So if we fast forward a little bit, in September of 2003... Dave Weiner, who created a special RSS with an enclosed feed for his Harvard Center colleague Christopher Lydon, his web blog became the first text-only RSS feed. Lydon then went on, blah, 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 and let's see here. Doug Kane, who had been publishing the MP... Okay, so they... went on to publish MP3 recordings of interviews called IT Conversations. Lydon did work for NPR, so you're kind of close on that. But that's technically what became the first podcast as we know it, was the published of the MP3 recordings that were the IT Conversations. And he actually has the... Lloyd has the longest running podcast with open source.
Very cool. So I just looked up a much less credible list, and it says 2004, the beginning was with Adam Curry. That's who I was thinking of. He apparently, according to this really crappy website I found, he had the first podcast in 2004, but Derek, seems like yours is a much more legitimate source.
I'm on Wiki, so I don't know how legitimate that is.
What is an Adam Curry?
I don't know. He's a funny looking dude. I just know the name. I don't actually know what he's done.
Actually, it mentions him here. It says that the open source podcast is not to be confused with Adam Curry's Daily Source Code,
which interesting.
Was also one of the first podcasts.
Okay.
All right.
You know what? Just want to defend Wikipedia for a second, because I remember being in high school, the aforementioned high school, and every teacher was like, you can't use Wikipedia. It's like, it's not legitimate. Wikipedia is so much better than any like hardbound encyclopedia that you would find in a school library.
Right. They allow for it now.
My kids are
allowed to credit it.
Okay. Well, that's good because there's like been multiple instances where people have shown that hardbound encyclopedias have tons of false information in them.
Right.
Outdated.
Yeah.
You ever tried changing something on Wikipedia?
It is impossible now. Yeah. So I think
still easier than changing out an old textbook.
True.
Yeah.
True.
True. Yeah. I think I told the story on the podcast before, but just in case, I had a friend who edited his name into the Mickey Mouse Club roster from like 1995, and he was on there for like multiple years before anybody noticed. It was like,
but like if funny. You did that now, it would be changed instantly.
Instantly. There's a whole like fleet of moderators, and you have to have like a level of notoriety before you can edit articles. Like they say anybody can step in and edit an article, but then as soon as you do, it has to be approved by a bunch of people and they look at your past record and blah, blah, blah. Make sure you're an authority on the source.
Isn't it more of like a change request more than anything?
I think you're probably right. It's been years since I've tried to prank edit a Wikipedia page. So I don't really know at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. Well, we got some people that are trying to prank the Green Suitors podcast by not giving them any money.
Hell yeah.
And there are new patrons who are giving us their money so that the Green Suitors podcast don't get it. We've got new this week. We've got Odie's Oil Fans, which are also known as our certified turds. Right. We've got Philip Stewart and our new Rigid fan, Kevin Eller.
That sounds like a
baseball name.
Kevin Keller?
Eller.
Eller. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. My bad.
Probably misspoke. But huge shout out to those new patrons helping support us in the fight against the Green Suitors podcast. we've also got a returning top tier patrons.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, we've got Brooke Appler, Dadu, Luke Schmidt. Derek Jennings at Pecan Tree Designs, who's stepping in as our producer helping us out. That's Corey Duvall, Jason Price at Priceless Pro Designs, Scott Eastman at EC's Woodshop, and of course, we didn't forget the Power Cocker, formerly known as Wes. Oh, yeah. That list is growing.
I know. It's kind of crazy. Oh. Every time you read it out, I'm like, surely he's going to stop after this name.
And even like, though keeps going. But we appreciate that. And those are just some of the people that are generous enough to support us in this podcast because we don't put ads on it because ads on podcasts are annoying as hell. And you would help us prevent us from doing that. This is the only way that we make any sort of revenue to pay for the expenses of running the podcast. But patrons also get access to the after show where we answer all your questions. It's like basically an entire other podcasts.
Sometimes longer than the main podcast.
Yeah, we had a couple week streak where like the after show was like an hour and a half long.
Yeah. It's usually when we have a guest or one of like if neither of us has anything to do directly after the show, we're like, we'll just let it roll for another hour and a half.
I'll be like, oh, Miranda's out of town tonight. And you're like, oh, Sophie is too. And we're just like, whoa, let it roll. We got nothing to do. We don't care if we eat at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, but yeah, if you're interested in supporting the show, getting access to the after show, you know, if you listen to the show, you probably enjoy it. Just listen to it more. Become a patron.
It's hard to imagine anybody listening to the main show not appreciating the after show. And at this point, I really got to say, you know, if you become a patron, it's good value because you're for, you know, whatever, $3 a month, you're getting access to like 70 back episodes.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably
100 hours worth of podcast.
Yeah, so what's that, 30 cents an hour?
Yeah.
Did that math right? Or 3 cents an hour? 3 sure. cents an hour. 3. It's off by an order of magnitude.
I don't do math on the spot.
Yeah.
I don't do math on the spot. Well, I got a story. That you guys will appreciate.
Okay,
so
hit me.
This weekend's July 4th. And went up to my buddy's lake house, and we go golfing, right?
With the ridiculous outfits?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
of course, and ridiculous mustaches, which is why my face is more bare than it typically is. I was like, I can't actually, you know, come home with this big old caterpillar. So what I did is I did a handlebar mustache. It was wicked. And then I brought the sideburns all the way down and created basically like a chin strap. Like if you're wearing a hockey helmet, it looked like that. It was awful. Just terrible. But so we go golfing. It's going well. I will say I had a few beers, but it wasn't like I had like 13 beers. I probably had two, maybe three at this point. So like,
okay.
You know, that this isn't to blame. So there's one hole. It's like, I think it's hole 11, right? So I just got my hot dog. I've got all of the energy in the world. I smack one off the tee because not thinking I'm going to get to the water. But, you know, the water is like 220 out there. So I'd play a five iron.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, that probably got really close to the water. So I'm in a cart by myself because we had six people. So we did two groups of three.
Okay.
So, you know, they go to their ball or whatever. I go to mine. I'm like driving right by the water. And I'm like, okay, my ball's got to be around here. So I'm just like creeping. Like I'm not flying. I'm moderately close to the water, 5-6 feet away. You know, nothing I need to be like super nervous or cautious about, right? I'm just slowly moving around, looking for my ball. And then all of a sudden I hear this big kind of like gush. And I slam on the brakes. And I look over to my right. My entire basically passenger side front wheel is just sinking into this grass because there was like no clear line between where like the pond was and the grass started. So like the 4 to 6 feet away from the pond is basically just grass covered pond.
Oh yeah.
And so I'm like, oh my God, my golf cart is going to fall in this pond. So I immediately get out and I stand on the back driver's side tire to basically try to put all of the weight there. Mm-hmm. And I just yell, help. And my buddies, they circle back and they're laughing like, dude, you're a moron. Like they're definitely like pissed off, but like, it's actually kind of funny, but they're like nervous that like, you know, they're going to get caught or something. And so I keep standing on that tire. My other two buddies are like pulling and pushing while they're trying to hit the gas pedal. And after like a minute and a half, we finally got a little bit of traction and got this thing out of the water. And I was like, oh my God, that would have been bad.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. They do. I was going to say, it's been a while since I've driven a golf cart, but do they have reverse gears? But I think they have like that little switch between your legs where you can throw it in reverse, right? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that was scary though. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to pay for a brand new golf cart, or we're going to have to like call like a tow truck and have them like tow this thing out.
That would suck because they're all electric too now, right? So you get that thing wet, and I think that's probably not great for it.
Yeah, and the whole time, I mean, I didn't hear the end of it the whole weekend. They're like, yeah, I mean, Eric drove golf cart into the lake. I'm like, I didn't drive it into the lake, okay? There was soft grass around it, and it was like quicksand. It was sucking me in. So
golf. You know what? Driving a golf cart is probably my favorite part of the game of golf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just whipping around in that little electric buggy, and I'm sure seasoned golfers probably hate me because I break all the etiquette rules. You know, I'm not driving on the green, but I'm also not observing all the rules that you're supposed to, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you're coming up to your ball in the rough, you might slam your brakes on and rip the wheel. That way you can drift into your ball. Oh, like, 100%, come on. 100%. You know, I'm doing that.
Exactly. That's what I like to call a bonus shot. You just tap it with the rear wheel and get your ball onto the fairway.
Yeah. You're like, I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
It's not a stroke.
It's not a stroke.
What are some other golf etiquette things that you think people hate that you do?
Oh man, there are so many golf etiquette things. Like the one that always gets me so frustrated is like, you're not supposed to like walk where somebody's about to putt on the greens.
Yeah.
Like, do you, like, I get it if like the green is like extra soft and you could actually make a divot, but 99% of the time that green is rock hard. It's not like me walking in front of your ball is going to actually alter the course of your putt, which by the way, is not going to go in the hole. Like if in the circles I golf in,
right.
Nobody's hitting the pin from, you know, 30 feet away on the green.
Right. Right.
So,
I'm trying to think of other good ones. I hate when people are like, well, we have to swing in a certain order. It's like, who cares? Just if you're ready, just go. Like,
yeah, it's whoever steps up to the plate first and is ready to go in my books.
Right. Right.
I also have like just being quiet in general. Like, I understand, like, don't yell psych right before somebody's about to hit the ball. But like, you know, if you're 20 feet away having a conversation with somebody else, like if you can't swing the golf club with some mild conversation in the background, that's your problem, not mine.
Right. Or like you're reaching to get a tee out of your pocket and somebody's like, you're making too much noise.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, come on, dude. Like,
it's not that serious.
It's not that serious.
Not at all. I also, one of my things that drives me nuts is when this is mostly dads that do this, is when dads make like really just weird off color comments to the cart girl.
It's
like you're making it so awkward for everyone. Yeah. Just stop. Like, you really think she hasn't heard that joke before? Like, you're a creeper.
Being a cart girl on a golf course must be one of the worst jobs. Like, it's just nonstop sexual harassment.
Oh yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you probably get, if you put up with that nonsense,
I'm sure you get tipped pretty well, but
you probably get tipped really well, but like, I'm sure you just go home and just feel dirty.
Yeah. 100%.
Oh, well,
yeah.
What have you been working on? I actually checked out one of your videos the other day. Which one was it? It was the phone one.
Oh, the phone one. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you. I had fun doing some firsts on that one, like the brazing and stuff like that. That was fun.
Before we get into how you did it, I just want to say I loved your ad read. This video is sponsored by me, but you can't skip it because it's already over. Yeah, that was really clever.
I had quite a few people say they subscribed just because of, they were like, I subscribed just for the ad read.
That's fair. That's
yeah, fair. So that was nice. I didn't sell that many of the guide. I was hoping to move a few more of those. Like, that video's got over 500,000 views, and I think I've only made a few $100 on the guide, unfortunately. Really? Yeah, yeah. So, but at the same time, it was my first digital product, so I have, like, no reviews on my store. I'm, like, you know, very much a newcomer to it. So I kind of expected it to a certain degree, and I understand why. So in terms of what I'm doing now, I just finished, I'm working on the video for my Nintendo Switch Pro that I've been working on. So I modded a Nintendo Switch. Ooh. I made a custom dock for it.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So I was just basically spent all day today. I was shooting the outro and editing a bunch of stuff. I had to like set it up and do screen capture. So I got this like little card. Where is it? Somewhere on my desk. Oh, here it is. So
it does screen captures of the Nintendo Switch?
Yeah, so basically it's got two HDMI ports in it. You plug the Nintendo Switch into one side, and then you have another HDMI cable that goes out to your monitor, but then there's also this USB port that you plug into your computer, and it captures everything going between.
Oh, nice.
So it was kind of, I was able to capture stuff directly off it, which is kind of cool. I think I'll probably find some other uses for that thing in the future. So just trying out some new filmmaking techniques, stuff like that.
So for the Nintendo Switch Pro, as you're going to elect it.
Yeah.
So is this basically going to allow, this is the one that you said that like when you play certain games, like the Nintendo Switch like throttles itself. So like your frame rate isn't high enough and whatnot, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's part of the reason why I had this, because I had to demonstrate like, okay, here's what it's like before I did the project, and you can see it's all like choppy. It looks like you're watching a slideshow. And then after I do the project, it's all buttery smooth and looks great. So,
okay. So is that dock basically just going to like super cool the Nintendo Switch? And so you can overclock it? Is that what you're trying to do?
Exactly. So I don't know if you can see this very well on camera, but there's a fan hidden in the back of the dock.
I can see the fan.
Yeah, and then so on the Nintendo Switch itself, I replaced the back of it. So when you buy one of these from the store, it comes with a plastic back.
Okay.
But this one is actually an aluminum back that I installed on it. And then I connected all like the processor and everything inside of it to the back plate. So the back plate is like a big heat sink.
Okay.
So when you're using it normally, it's I set it up in software so that when it's in the dock, it like turbocharges itself.
Okay.
So it runs even hotter, and then the fan is able to strip away all the heat off that back plate.
Huh.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a multi-layered project. It'll be interesting to see how it performs because there's very little woodworking in the video.
Right. So are you gonna make like an additional guide for this one about how exactly you did it, like going step by step?
Well, I was thinking, I don't think I'll do that because there's quite a bit of documentation that exists online already that's quite good. But I was thinking, because I basically 3D printed this entire dock, sell the 3D print files for this.
Yeah, you might as well.
Yeah. So, and the cool thing about this is that if you have a Nintendo Switch dock, you can just strip the parts out of it and then print this and then plug them all into it. It's like basically, it's really simple, copy and paste. And even if you don't want to overclock your Switch, it's still much more compact than the basic one that comes with it.
So I still got to email the guy about that 3D printer. It's on my to-do list.
Yeah, I still haven't got mine. I was talking to Brad Rodriguez from Fix This Build That.
Yeah.
And he got the smaller one. So I think they still haven't sent out the bigger ones yet.
Okay, which
is the one that I believe we're both signed up for.
Yeah. So again, I've never done any 3D printing. I've never bought any of this stuff. How much did that dock, if you had to roughly take a stab, how much do you think that cost for you to print?
To print? Nah, not that much. So, well, I printed like 20 of them because I was like just trying to like work out all the measurements and stuff. This one's actually made with carbon fiber reinforced nylon.
Huh.
So this one's like crazy strong. In the video, I do an example. I like throw it across the room to prove how strong it is. If you were to do it in regular PLA, which is like the basic 3D printing plastic, probably cost like maybe $3.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
And then in the carbon fiber reinforced nylon, maybe like $7-$8, something like that. So really nothing crazy.
Yeah. Okay. That is definitely under what I expected it to be.
Dude, the 3D, you get like a kilogram of 3D print filament for anywhere between $25 on the low end and $60 on the high end. So it's really not that expensive. And this is, you know, maybe 100 grams of plastic. So you get 10 of these out of a single roll.
So what would happen, let's say I'm printing and midway through a print, I run out of line or plastic or filament?
Yeah, so that's a good question. It kind of depends on how good your 3D printer is. So mine will send me a little notification. It'll say, hey, we've paused the print because we've run out of filament.
Okay.
Do you want to load more filaments into the same slot and resume? Or would you like to switch to another? Because my 3D printer can hold four filaments, like four plastics at the same time. So if I have one that's close enough, I can just start printing with that other one. So that's an option. Go ahead, Derek.
I was going to say, when it switches over to a different filament, like if you're whichever way you decide to go, is there an air gap, or how does it take care of that air gap between them?
No, I've done it before in the past. So I was just printing something that I didn't really care about that much. And I started printing it with a green filament because I was trying to get rid of this green, ugly green filament that I had. And I ran out halfway through, and then I switched to a black filament, and it's like pretty perfect where it switches over from one to the other. It was pretty impressive. There's barely a seam. If there wasn't a difference in the color, you wouldn't be able to tell.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm just excited to be able to print just like little accessories and like tool holder stuff for the workshop to start with. I think that's where I'm going to be interested at first.
my one thing I want to do is just spend like a day in the shop. I want to bring a 3D printer to the shop with me, spend a day there, and print just hose adapters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, all the different tools you have. It's like, oh, you have a Festool dust extractor and it's 1.5 inch diameter. And then you have like a DeWalt tool and it's like 1.25 inch diameter. You're like, what are we doing here?
Right.
And so you could just print a bunch of adapters, even little flexible adapters, pretty quickly. So I think I want to do that one day.
What you ought to do is do, I know you don't. So, okay. Look at your Rotex sander, your RO90 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Make them, if you're going to use the Festool hose on them have like the little locking mechanism. Because you know how the Festool hose, yeah, you can like twist and lock it?
Twist. Yes, yes.
Try to do that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Because the Festool hose works if you put the thing on the inside or the outside. So on like bigger tools, you could basically put the hose on the inside of the port, and on the smaller tools, like a sander, you'd put it on the outside of the port.
Yeah. 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 It's interesting. The Festool, I like that the Festool hose is soft. So a lot of the time you can just jam it into holes that it's not meant to go into. Heard oh, there's that. The name of this episode.
Or they jam it into a hole it wasn't supposed to go into.
Yeah.
Or they jam it into the wrong hole.
Yeah, the one where they jam it into the wrong hole.
The soft.
Yeah.
The one I've actually been taking good notes about names. So, you know.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, you know. That's a good one, but you'd be shocked. I've been listening for good names. But yeah, I mean, printing out dust collection of hose adapters is super basic. It's just, what's the diameter of this? What's the diameter of this? Boom, 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 print, done.
Yeah, exactly. So it's once you start wrapping your head around how powerful of a tool it is, you just start seeing like all sorts of possibilities for it. So for instance, I have to, my job tomorrow in my office is I want to replace all the pot lights in here so that they're color matched with all the other lights in here.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of 4-inch holes in the ceiling for the old pot lights, and the new pot lights I got are 6 inches. So I don't know if you've ever tried to use a hole saw to cut a bigger hole.
It's impossible because you have pilot start point.
You have no pilot start point. So what I'm thinking is I'm going to 3D print a little 6-inch circular jig that I can hold with one hand and then use that as a guide to start the bit with my other hand. So it's just little things like that. It's like, you know, you wouldn't necessarily think you need something like that, but it's like, well, once you have the 3D printer, you're like, oh, yeah, I could just whip that up in 15 minutes.
Or like when I was kind of thinking, I finally finished my workbench. I'm like, oh, it'd be nice to have like a little like holder so I can put those little like dog holes or like the clamps or something like that. I could just 3D print something that would cost like 50 cents.
Exactly. That's
totally custom. You just pop it in there and you're done.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll like, I'm sure at some point you'll be like, oh man, I wish I had something that fit in this dog hole that like held down this piece of wood perfectly.
Right.
Like, oh, it's just, I'll 3D print it.
Right.
Yeah.
Boom. So, now it's a product I can sell too.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, and then you start thinking about that. It's like, okay, well, I can just sell all these files. And it's like, even if only a few people buy them, you've already made it for yourself. You might as well throw it up for sale in your store.
Right. Would you ever consider, like, I mean, flash forward a year and a half, and you've come up with a bunch of 3D printable objects, like the Nintendo Switch dock. Would you ever consider making those like a standalone product, like Travis from Shop Nation does, where he sells all of that stuff?
Yeah, I would consider it, but man, it seems like such a pain in the ass to.
Would you outsource the production?
Maybe I talk to JCats or something like that. See if he wants to.
I know. I know, right? Because I have no interest in just like having we're talking 3D printers. Like I have no interest in having 40 3D printers that I'm trying to run and do maintenance on. Like I'm sure Travis makes a killing on that, but I don't find like me personally that wouldn't be fun. I would rather like. Be like, hey, Travis, I'll give you, I'm making this up, 20-30% of the proceeds if you do it all.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. Especially if he's already, Yeah, if he's already got the facilities and stuff. And maybe, you know, I guess once he gets a certain volume, you're like, oh man, I'm moving a million units of these every year, and I'm paying Travis $300,000. Like, okay, well, I could probably afford to hire somebody. But like, if you're doing small volume, I don't think it really makes sense.
Right.
And also, like, so this Switch dock, this is, you know, for people listening at home, it's not big. It's maybe 6 inches across, 5 inches tall, something like that, in two pieces. It's two halves. The half on the right took, I think, like 8 hours to print.
Okay.
And then the other side was like 5 hours to print. Now, mind you, that's with, like, so one of the things with 3D printer is based on how strong you want the end product to be and how detailed you want the end product to be. You can, like, speed it up or slow it down. There's a trade-off between strength and printing speed.
And you can probably do, like, a, like, you know, gaps on the inside where you create almost like a lattice structure, right?
Exactly. And how thick that lattice structure is, too. You can play with those parameters and what the pattern of that lattice structure is. So there's all these little parameters that you can play with that affect print speed. This is definitely, I optimized it for strength and for detail above all else. But just, you know, like, these two pieces are like a half day's print. So that doesn't really sound that attractive to me to have my 3D printers running 24/7 just to keep product on the shelf.
Right. And I can't think of anything worse. And I'm sure Travis probably hires people to do it. I can't think of anything worse than having to, like, box all this stuff up and, like,
go to the post office and,
you know, you're going to have the, hey, this thing never showed up, and you're like, I have tracking that says, yeah, well, it didn't. Or like, I ordered three of these and you only sent one. Like, I mean, that stuff does actually happen. I just had that with something that I ordered. But I just don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think I guess it depends what level of volume you're moving. Like, I feel like if anybody came to me with anything like that, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll just send you another one. Like,
right.
You know, just having the argument sounds like not worth my time. Not even worth my time.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I've done when I've had like two or three people in the multiple years of like the plans I sell have issues or whatever. I'm just like, happy to refund it. Like, it's not even worth my time.
Especially if it's a digital good, like literally costs you nothing. It's like, screw it, whatever.
Right. Right.
Oh. Yeah.
Dude, I finally finished that effing workbench.
Ooh. Okay. So, what did you end up doing with the top? Did you put another layer on it?
Yeah. So to quickly recap for everybody, I had basically finished the workbench, and then I was trying to, you know, just clean off some drips of polyurethane or whatnot on there. And Derek, are you looking for a video of it? Because it won't be out for 2 years.
No, I'm just putting it on in the background because we're talking about your channel.
So I was basically trying to clean some polyurethane that dripped on it from the underside. And when I was doing that, I basically chipped up a big piece of laminate. And I'm like, oh my God. So then I tried to sand it off. And then it was just compounding tons and tons and tons of errors to the point where I was like, all right, I have to do something drastic. So I took my Rotex sander with like 40 grit sandpaper and just scratched the absolute hell out of the top, so that it had like a really mechanical surface to bond to. And I put another layer of laminate on top of it, and now it is perfect. And I'm just going to stop, nothing crazy, and I'm going to move on with it. And I'm so glad it's done.
What color did you end up going with in the end?
I did the matte black.
Just to keep it consistent?
Right.
Yeah.
Because if I did something a different color, and then in the video they're like, wait, but you put black on, but now it's red.
Well, see, this is a great example of one of those things. It's like, do you add a couple of minutes to the video to say, oh, I screwed up here and here's how I fixed it? Or do you just like, I just want to get this video done and like, who cares that I like, there's not really much you can add to the story being like, oh, I chipped this little bit here and I had to redo the entire thing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think people are gonna be like, yeah, dude, I get it. Like, you messed up. You just put another layer of laminate on top of it. It's the same. It's the same as it was before, but it's twice as thick.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't really add anything to the story. And there's not much of a teachable moment there. Right.
Right. And I'm sure there are going to be some people that would be like, well, this is a lie. You didn't even tell the full story. You're absolutely right. But there's tons of parts and videos that I cut out or don't have just for sake of brevity, like trying to move on.
Yes. I mean, I thought about doing like director's cuts of my videos at one point. Because what I often do is like I'll make a video and I'll do all my voiceover, get it all edited down, and I'll be like, this thing's 27 minutes long. What can I trim out of this?
Right.
In order to make it a little bit more digestible for people.
I mean, maybe that's something you could put on like Patreon, but then it's like, are you doing extra work when nobody really cares?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, should I do extra work to create a worse version of my videos? Because the stuff I usually cut out is stuff that's just not that important. It doesn't really add much to the story or to the project.
And I mean, to be completely honest, like even like your biggest fan, like they're not going to watch the regular and director's cut. They just pick one of them.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, so seriously.
You might be stealing views from somewhere else. Yeah. So it's a good point. It's a good point.
I wouldn't watch both versions.
No, neither would I.
Right. Would you, Derek? Can you think of any YouTuber that you watch that you'd be like, I'd watch both versions?
No, but if they had like maybe an outtakes or goofs or something like that's you know, that's bonus stuff. But yeah, watching the same thing again with slight variations, no.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, because 99% or 90% of it or 80% of it is just going to be the same content. So why would you ever watch it twice?
Although I do got to say, with I think you're doing this and I know Jason's doing it, the second channel where it's just the video with only shop sounds, no voiceover or anything like that. That's great for background, because then for me, whenever I hear somebody talking, it gets my attention and I'm watching it. But if it's just video, I can work on other things while it's going on.
Okay, and just kind of like peek over every once in a while and be like, oh, they're making this.
Yeah.
Are you still doing the Spensley Design Uncut?
I am. So right now is where I just blast all the shorts on there.
Do the shorts have voiceovers though?
Yes. That's so the only little, like off-brandy thing.
Yeah. It's like you see all these videos of like, so I'm just trying to walk through like the hypothetical viewer. They discover your channel through shorts and then they're expecting like this guy talking to the camera and like doing voiceover. And then they go to your channel and it's just all like shop sounds.
Yeah, and that's why I've contemplated like just kind of stopping the shorts, because they don't really pay you anything. I mean, you get some subscribers out of them, but it's kind of inconsistent with kind of the direction I want to go with that like uncut raw channel.
Yeah.
I want to basically just repurpose content that I already have in a really easy to produce format.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, I kind of like Jason's format where he just basically re-downloads the video off YouTube and just kind of hyperlapse it, cuts something out and throws copyright free music on top of it and moves on with his day. Like having to like edit all the shop sounds so that they're at like an appropriate level and stuff like that. I'm like, that is kind of it's a reasonable amount of work. It's nothing crazy, but
yeah, well, it's still like an hour or whatever. But here's when you're editing your videos, this is something that Bryson and I do. And for people at home, Bryson's my video editor. We put different sounds on different audio tracks. So all the shop sounds go on one audio track. All the voiceovers go on an audio track. All the A-roll shots go on an audio track. So if you were consistent when you were doing that, when you're editing, you could actually make it really easy on yourself. You could just say like mute audio track 1 and 2, which are the A roll and the voiceover. And then you could just grab all the tracks on the like shop sounds level, boost up their audio a little bit, and then export.
Yeah. The only problem is I definitely have not done that. And
no, but going forward,
there are a lot of ones where like I forget to switch over from my like voiceover mic that I clip to my shirt versus just like the shotgun mic that just captures like shop audio. So I have some clips that are just silent.
Right.
I think that's where my plan of shop sounds only kind of falls through. And I'm like, it might be easier just to put like copyright free music on it.
You just take other shop sounds you got and overlay it. I mean, if you're doing a table saw run and that's you got like a drill run that's really quiet, just throw a table saw sound on top of it.
Or find somewhere else in the
throw a table
the
video saw sound over a drill.
Yeah, or like go like look at like an old video. I mean, this is work, obviously, but look at an old video where you drilled something in. Take the drill sound from that, throw it on that clip. It doesn't have to be perfect.
That's a lot of effort.
Yeah,
or just animal sounds.
Or I make my own sounds like. Buzz. God, honestly, people would probably find that funny if you just had like one or two thrown in there.
Yeah,
maybe that's how you do shorts.
Yeah, you should try that for a short. Just do like all you improvising the tool sounds.
Bang, bang.
Yeah.
It would either do really well because people would think it was hilarious, or it would be the most obnoxious thing anyone's ever listened to.
Might be both.
Well, can't be worse than the Green Suitors podcast, I'll tell you that.
That is true.
Bang.
Well, unlike the Green Suitors podcast, we have an after show. So you can listen to us more because they're not quite as good of podcasts. Well,
they don't have the endurance that we do.
No.
Stamina.
They're not young, spry, handsome gentlemen like we are.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even think about that. Their average age is probably a little bit above ours.
Yeah, yeah. Especially Jason's. Oh, my God. But so we're going to head over to the after show. We got a boatload of questions. We got a bunch of real good questions from all kinds of different people. And we want to get over to those. So you got anything to say to the people before we head out?
Thank you for listening. Check out Patreon where you can get access to our Discord, the after show, send us questions. You get, if you pay enough money, you get a quarterly chat with Eric and I, which do we have one of those coming up with Wes? I think we might.
I think so. I don't know. It's on we should. I think next month, maybe. I don't know. I got an alert thing on my phone that reminds me.
Yeah, you get t-shirts, you get stickers, you get mugs. It's a good time.
And most importantly, every dollar that goes to our Patreon doesn't go to the Green Suitors podcast. And there's no better support than that.
Mm-hmm. You can check out the Green Suitors podcast on iTunes and all places where podcasts are found.
Absolutely. And Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Although that's not, I think that one died.
That one went belly up.
Yeah. Well, it's a great place to listen to their podcast, though, because you won't find it.
All right, everybody.
All right, we'll see you next week.